harvest is calling, for laborers true in his field. Together the sheaves ere they perish, when mercy no more is revealed. We bask in the sunlight of glory, on heavenly manna we're fed, while souls o'er the ocean in darkness are starving for life-giving bread. They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. God paid them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail, with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie, and a very pleasant greeting to all who are in tune with radio station XEG. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and of course, your speaker, Willie Murphy. We hope that each of you are enjoying the blessings of the Lord and are well and happy on this day before Christmas. And two, we hope that with all the celebration at this season of the year, you will not forget the most important thing of all, and that is that we may understand the real meaning of Christmas. It is not only a time for one to remember others in the giving of gifts, which in itself is really a good thing if it is done with the right spirit and motive, but it is a time when we should remember the greatest gift in all the world to mankind. Let us sum it up this way. Here is one verse in the Scriptures which give us the complete Christmas story within itself. Listen to this verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, first of all, this verse explains why Christ came to the world. It was because God loved the people of the world. He loved them then, and he loves them now. And he is interested in their welfare and happiness. Certainly, those who are depressed many times are the ones who feel that no one loves them. But this is not true. God loves you, whoever you are, and wherever you may be. In fact, he loved us all so much that he gave his Son for the redemption of our souls. He desires that each one may find happiness. But many fail in search of this happiness because they look for it at the wrong places. It can only be found in the center of the will of God. Outside of his will is no lasting happiness. Now again, one might ask, well, how much does God love me? Well, really, it is hard to measure the depths and the heights and the breadth of the love of God. But one song says it this way. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Now I hope that you have found this greatest treasure of all, and that is the happiness that comes to those who find the love of God. And if by any chance there are those listening to this broadcast tonight, and you have not found this happiness, we hope that this Christmas may be the turning point in your life. There are no doubt some tonight who think that the way to celebrate this season of the year is to stop by the little store on the corner where the strong drink is sold. And there, take home with them a bottle of this high-priced alcohol. This, they hope, will make them happy during the Christmas season. Oh, my friends, God forbid that we should so foolishly spend our money and waste our time and wreck our health and deprive our families of the necessities of life in order to indulge in the drinking of beer, wine, and whiskey. Yet, there might be some who would say, "Well, I only drink my wine and whiskey during the Christmas season. I can drink it or I can leave it alone." Friends, this may be true. You may drink it, or you may leave it alone. But there remains that possibility that if you drink it now on this occasion, you may be unable to leave it alone the remainder of the year. My advice to you, one and all, is found in Proverbs 23, verses 29 through 35. Listen as I quote to you these verses, which I hope may cause someone to awaken and avoid such a fearful state. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath wet redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, for at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Now, in speaking of strong drink and what it will do, listen to this reading called Tom Gray's Dream. Tom Gray lay down on the barroom floor, having drunk so much he could drink no more. So he fell asleep with a troubled brain to dream that he rode on a hell-bound train. The engine with blood was red and damp and brilliantly lit by a brimstone lamp. An imp for fuel was shoveling bones while the furnace rang with a thousand groans. The boiler was filled with lager beer, and the devil himself was the engineer. The passengers made such a motley crew, church member, atheist, Gentile, and Jew. Rich men in broadcloth and beggars in rags, handsome young ladies and withered old hags, yellow and black men, red, brown, and white, all chained together and a horrible sight. Then in the distance there arose such a yell, "Ha, ha," croaked the devil, "we're nearing hell." Then, oh, how the passengers shrieked with pain and begged of the devil to stop the train. Then he capered about and sang with glee and laughed and joked at their agony. "Faithful friends, you have done my work, and the devil can never a payday shirk. You have bullied the weak, you have robbed the poor, and a starving brother turned from your door. You have laid up gold where the canker rough and given free vent to your fleshly lust. You have justice scorned and corruption sown and trampled the laws of nature down. You have drunk and rioted, murdered and lied, and mocked at God in your hell-born pride. You have paid full fare, so I'll carry you through, for it's only right you should get your due. Why, the laborer always expects his hire, so I'll land you safe in the lake of fire." Then Tom awoke with an agonized cry, his clothes soaked with sweat, his hair standing high, and he prayed as he had never prayed before to be saved from drink and the devil's power. And his prayers and his cries were not in vain, for he never more rode on the hell-bound train. Now let us spend a moment in prayer. Our Father, take the words of the message today to the hearts of those who are lonely, are discouraged, or cast down. May it provide comfort and happiness that will last not only through this Christmas season, but throughout the year. And for those who are bound by the habits of wickedness, we pray that you would set them free and give them happiness as only thou canst do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, you're in tune with the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma. We hope that each of you will enjoy the rich blessings of heaven and that the peace of God will keep you and give you happiness beyond measure. If you would like a copy of today's message in print, you may have one free of charge by sending us your request. Then, too, we have some copies left of the reading Tom Gray's Dream. They are prepared with some special artwork on them and are printed in color. If you would like some of these to pass along to your friends or others, you may also have them free of charge by sending us your request. And now we hope that each of you will have a very pleasant Christmas, that God will bless you and keep you until we meet again. I would also like to say, if possible, why don't you plan to come and be with us in the assembly meeting right here in Guthrie beginning today. Until next Friday night at 11 o'clock, may heaven's richest blessings be yours. A very Merry Christmas to each and every one, and a very pleasant good night.